streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap, round three preview pod for the CJ Cup. And joining me to break it all down as he does every Friday, it's Greg Ducharme. What up, Greg?
I love the Friday episode, and I love the new locale today. Little hotel room. I love it. I'm a huge fan, Rick. I love the new background.
Nothing can stop me from doing the pod. I am on the road in a hotel room, but it's Friday night. We got to get a round two recap in, so I wouldn't miss it for the world, Greg.
I just love the fact that we can be mobile and do it. Yes. Everybody has done it. Kyle's doing it from a dock, right? He's jumping off a swim platform into a lake, and he's doing the pod. It's great. It's great. You can do it. Technology is an amazing thing.
It is. What else is an amazing thing is Xander Schauffele playing golf, because he's done it again. He's followed up his 66 with an even more impressive 64, 8 under par around Shadow Creek, which, Greg, we haven't even had a chance to talk about Shadow Creek. I want to get your thoughts on what you saw from Xander Schauffele, but how cool is it that you have a world-class player like Xander Schauffele at 14 under par and a world-class player like Matthew Wolff at 9 over, like such a huge discrepancy between these two elite golfers on one course is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a sign of a really, really good golf course, right? It's fair. If you hit great shots, you're rewarded. And if you're a little bit off, you get penalized. And that's exactly what we've seen. It's what we see at a place like Augusta National. You may see winning scores at Augusta that are similar to other PGA Tour events in a certain year, but the cut line is typically not what you normally see, and the leaders and the guys that are trailing, it spreads out a little bit more because the margin for error, the reward for success, is really slim. So it's great to see. And I mean, looking at this place, like you said before, Rick, on Tuesday we talked about this. It doesn't look like the desert. It doesn't look like you're in Vegas. It looks like you're at the one that sticks out to me is Muirfield Village. The way the creek runs through there, I guess they what do they call that, Shadow Creek? it just reminds me of Muirfield Village.
I am in Las Vegas right now. It is the desert. It's like an alien just dropped this course out there. But let's talk about Xander Schauffele. I mean, he's doing everything right. I mean, he's gaining 2 strokes on approach on Friday, and when you combine that with the 2 that he gained on the greens, I mean, he's just lapping the field. He's now 3 shots clear of his next closest competitor. It's been through 2 rounds, Greg, domination.
You know, I wish on our fantasy pod and our preview, we were a little heavier on Xander. Now, we always give him a positive sign.
Yeah.
But on a new breed of golf, I went pretty heavy with Xander, because after thinking about it for a couple of days, I was like, man, you know, this is the strategy here for me was go with a guy like Xander because he's so well-rounded. And when you go to a place that you don't know, you go to a golf course that seems like it's tough, but you don't really know. You don't know if it's going to demand great iron play. You don't know if it's going to demand great tee shots or short game or putting. Well, Xander has no holes. We talk about how Justin Thomas has no holes all the time, but he really does. I mean, Justin Thomas does have a couple of areas you could almost call a hole. The driver is something where he sprays it.
JT's a losing putter. He's a negative putter. So if there is a hole, it's a very small one, but he's a negative putter. Xander is just solid everywhere.
Xander is in. Now, JT is the best iron player in the game.
Right.
So he has that ceiling, which is why he contends so much, where Xander's a little more flatline. But his worst of the major strokes gain categories, his worst rank last year in 2020 was 37. He's inside the top 37 in everything. And so when it starts to click and he gets the putter going and he starts to feel it with the iron play a little bit, this is what can happen. And this is going to be a great test for him going forward, because, Rick, we've talked about this on countless occasions. This is what we want to see Xander do for the next step. What does he do as a 36-hole leader? Can he get the job done? And look, it's not going to be easy, but it's definitely something I'm watching for. It's here right in front of us.
Yeah, he has not historically won from ahead. So we will see if three shots over two rounds is enough for guys playing as well as he is. His closest chaser is Tyrrell Hatton, who, Greg, first of all, the jet lag did not affect Tyrrell Hatton in any way. He just carried the momentum from his victory at the BMW PGA Championship. Let me make sure I get it right. On the European Tour, all the way here to Las Vegas, and he is 11 under par, rounds of 65 and 68. But in true Tyrrell Hatton fashion, let me read you his scores on the back nine. This guy's an absolute maniac. He goes par, bogey, birdie, par, birdie, bogey, bogey, birdie, birdie. He's a nut job.
He's so entertaining to watch. He's so entertaining. And it cost him a lot. I mean, he hit some loose iron shots down the stretch, but also some great ones. So he is leading the field through two rounds approaching the green, but today wasn't great. He lost a little bit approaching the green. And again, now, if you look at the leaderboard, the top three guys on the leaderboard, all guys we're going to talk about tonight, they are doing very well approaching the green. It's just something that we talked about leading into the event. It would be very important. And Hatton is first. But that being said, today he was 49th, but he was great off the tee. And he had a really nice putting day as well, which was 11th. So he kind of has that same thing where all parts of his game are really strong. And I don't see an area where, oh, well, Hatton, the putter is really weak. That's really a question. Or, oh yeah, but his bunker play is no good. There's not really an area of question for him. The question is, do we take him serious enough? I know we think highly of him and we talk about him a lot, but we don't talk about him in a elite ball striker level or an elite player level. We talk about him as a character, a guy who's entertaining, which he is, but do we take him serious enough? What do you think, Rick?
I don't think we do. I mean, he is never really classified as the top tier elite players, but he's won. I mean, if he were to find a way to win this, even if he doesn't win it, I mean, he's won three times in his last 13 starts. If he won this one and it was 4 out of 14, like, that would be bonkers. Like, we would be talking about him in the same breath of John Rahm's and Rory McIlroy's and Dustin Johnson's. It's just a lot of his success happens on the Euro Tour. And I feel like it takes so much to break through for us to take him more seriously over here. I think we're different than that. We talk about him a lot, but he does not have the gravitas like some of these other more established guys who have a lot more PGA Tour success, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's interesting. I'd be interested to see how people react to a win like this, because you have the Arnold Palmer Invitational victory, which is almost, in a way, it was so hard. It almost didn't determine the best player. In a way, you could make that argument anyway. I'm not saying that's true. He played great, but it was so hard. It was like a disaster for everybody. And it was like a scratching and clawing to hang on. And he was the last guy standing. So you don't get the sense that he dominated. But in order for him to win this week, he's going to have to put on quite a performance over the weekend on a tough golf course in another great field. And I think it would be a great point of validation for him. So I'm looking forward to see what he can do. I think he is a great chaser for Xander, really putting Xander Schauffele to the test.
One of our big sleepers leading into the week was Russell Henley. We liked him because he's such a good iron player. He continues to show that off at Shadow Creek. He's fifth in this field in strokes gained approach. He's rolling the rock beautifully. And this is the time of the week, Greg, where we say, okay, it's Friday night. X, Y, and Z player are near the top of the leaderboard. What type of staying power do they have? So, Greg, what type of staying power does Russell Henley have?
So with staying power, we talk about this all the time. Like, the guys that are putting great are guys that it's a more potential that it doesn't go great again over the weekend. When you talk about a guy who's hitting the ball great, which he is off the tee, 17th off the tee through two rounds. He's fifth, as you said, approaching the green through two rounds. He's second in putting. Many may look at that putting as a downfall. But the strength is, again, it's still with the irons. He's positioning himself on these greens to make a lot of birdies. And when your thumbprint as a player, when your strength is performing well, it's a good sign. So I think Russell Henley has real staying power here. It's why we picked him as a sleeper. It's why we were so high on him in DFS. And I think he's here to stay. Is he going to catch Xander? I don't think so. But I do expect, I think at this point, a top five looks really good for him.
All right. Well, let's see who can, if anyone can catch Xander Schauffele. Looking towards the weekend, he is -120 to win, which, by the way, how cool is it to see the betting odds on the telecast, Greg? Now we got some live odds in there, baby. Let's go.
Live odds. And it's not just on who's going to win, right? They got Rory getting up and down out of the bunker, right? They got some cool stuff in there. So it's exciting.
Xander -120, meaning you'd have to lay $120 to win 100. So he is now at this point the odds on favorite. It's him versus the field, the way that this price is being laid. Tyrrell Hatton at 3.5 to 1. He's your closest chaser, three shots back. Colin Morikawa, if you're interested in that, 10 to 1. And Russell Henley is 14 to 1. So Greg, I think it's Xander's to lose, right? I would not bet Xander. I don't know if I feel comfortable betting any of these other guys. I mean, Hatton at 3.5 to 1, I guess, is somewhat intriguing, but I'm not sure there's enough value there.
No, you just wonder how much is in the tank for him. And Doug and I talked about it last night, and I'm a little cautious to say that because he's showing that he's just really good. But how long is this going to last for him? He just won overseas, coming all the way back here. There's been a lot of commotion and talk about him, which he clearly isn't paying attention to. And he's in great form. But he mentioned, he told Doug Bell how tired he was. So yeah. I don't know. I have some questions about that. And the odds aren't great. I like the odds on Xander more than I like the odds on Tyrrell in a strange way. So I like that. But this is an interesting one because you have Xander at 14. So if you look down to like Matthew Fitzpatrick at 7 under, he's 7 back, but he's in a way, if you're going to take the long shot, you're betting on Xander falling back a little bit. Okay. So you're really 4 back at that point. Once you start going to some of these lower guys, you got to look more at the pack than the outlier. Xander's the outlier. So I think Justin Thomas is right there. Yeah. And he would be the guy that I'm really looking at in tied 8th, just shot 6 under today. But not only did he shoot 6 under, he really found something with his iron play, and he's the best iron player in the game. And there was a stretch there, and forgive me, I was listening to this on the radio, and I don't know exactly what hole it was, but he started. There were 3 or 4 iron shots right in a row where they all came down right at the flag, and he really started to find something. But he only through those 3 shots, he only got 1 birdie out of it, and then all of a sudden, you turn on the TV later and he gets it all the way to 6 under, and it's very impressive. So he is now 4th approaching the green. Yeah. And a loser putter, as you said, for the year, also for the week. So I think that's going to turn around, and he would be my guy to make a move.
He's 20 to 1. He's 5th in the field in strokes gained from tee to green. As you mentioned, Greg, he is still a negative putter for the week, which is not uncharacteristic. But if he can go out and gain 2 strokes putting in a round on Saturday or Sunday, he puts himself in contention. And we're going to see how it all breaks down. We're going to be back after round 3, after round 4, to describe everything that we've seen. That right there is Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD. You can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut. And we'll catch you next time.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the 3 things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the 3rd thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.